Okay, now we are set up and all ready to go. Good morning or afternoon, everyone, and welcome to EMForum.org. I'm Amy Sebring and will serve as your host and moderator today. We are very glad you could join us. For any first-timers, we will be providing some instructions as we go along so you can relax and participate with us. If you need assistance, please select Help Desk from the drop-down options in either the Q&A panel or the chat panel, and our associate, Lori Weaver, will try to assist you. Our program today is about a relatively new organization for tribal emergency managers, ITEMA. The mission of ITEMA is to promote a collaborative, multidisciplinary approach to prepare for, protect against, respond to, recover from, and mitigate against all hazards that impact tribal communities. First, for the benefit of any newcomers, we will begin with an overview presentation, and then we will proceed to your questions or comments. We will provide further instructions just before we begin the Q&A, but we ask you to hold your questions until we get to that part of the program. Today's recordings and a copy of the slides will be available from our site later this afternoon, and then we will have a transcript early next week. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce Jake Heflin, President and CEO of ITEMA. Jake has been involved in emergency services for over 22 years and is a firefighter paramedic for the City of Long Beach Fire Department. He is currently assigned to the Community Services Division, serving as the Community Emergency Response Team, CERT, Program Manager. Also joining us is Regina Morato, Secretary and Chief Administrative Officer for this organization. An emergency management professional, she currently serves as Acting Director for the Intertribal Emergency Response Commission, a department with the Intertribal Council of Nevada. Thank you very much to both of you for taking time to be with us today, and I now turn the floor over to Jake to start us off, please.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate the invitation to participate in EM Forum, and we're certainly excited about the opportunity to share about ITEMA to those that have called in today and are participating and interested in what we have to offer and what we're moving towards as far as an organization for Indian Country and by Indian Country. Hello, everyone. My name is Jake Heflin, and I am an enrolled member of the Osage Nation out of Oklahoma and the president and interim CEO of ITEMA, which is the Tribal Emergency Management Association. And I also have on my line my counterpart, Regina Morato, who is also the secretary and chief administrative officer for ITEMA as well. And so we're excited to share this information with you and certainly look forward to your comments and feedback and questions as we move forward in this discussion. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started on the presentation. When we started this effort, it was kind of based over a series of conversations that had, throughout Indian Country. And as we went throughout Indian Country participating in different events and different classes and educational opportunities and conferences, we found that emergency management obviously is a fairly small community, but tribal emergency management is even smaller. And having said that, we saw this a lot of the same people over and over again that were continuing to express some of the same challenges that they had within their own tribal communities on how to deal with and or respond to these disasters that impacted their communities. And so as we continued to have some of these conversations, we collectively came up with a vision or a shared vision to develop an organization that really was not discipline specific, but more collaborative and more multidisciplinary with regard to all the players that typically participate in an emergency incident. And so really we started looking at the other organizations that were out there and realized that there was a great opportunity for us to really kind of go out and try to reach our hand out to those organizations that existed with a single discipline focus. And as we kind of went into that effort, we identified that through the organization, or what collectively became ITEMA, that we could create an effort that was not only specific to emergency management, but also include elements of fire, emergency management, EMS, homeland security, law enforcement, public health, incident management, and all those things that are related to to these emergency management and managing these large-scale incidents. So I'll get into that a little bit further, but that's really kind of the impetus behind how this effort started, how these conversations started to develop at kind of a groundswell, and why the organization was created. So quite frankly, that's really what the mission statement talks about, is that promoting that collaborative, that multidisciplinary approach to coordinate this and enhance emergency management, and quite frankly, to help develop capability and capacity throughout Indian Country. And we see that typically, on average, Indian Country, and obviously there are exceptions to this, and there are some very robust and some very, very advanced programs throughout Indian Country. However, what we do realize is that, by and large, the individual that's responsible for emergency management typically wears three or four different hats and really may not have the support structure within the tribal organization to support an actual response or to support the management of a larger scale incident. So we talk about obviously enhancing not only emergency management, but the response capability as well and the recovery to protect all tribal communities. And so that really summarized what we wanted to accomplish with our organization and what we set out to accomplish with the creation of ITEMA. So how did we do that? Well, what we did is we said, we sent out a survey, and basically I'm going to go into the survey here, but a lot of people say, well, I understand Tribal Emergency Management Association, but what does the I mean? Where did that come from? And this is kind of a unique conversation, but what I think that what the I stands for is unique to ITEMA in itself. And that's really what it means for us is, you know, there's multiple meanings. But that lowercase I really was chosen to show that humility and that it gives individual ownership in the association, but I becomes one within the context of our team or TEMA, realizing that you as the individual become part of the association, create that team effort. And the I stands for an Indian, indigenous, international. We have our First Nation brothers and sisters and our Aboriginal brothers and sisters in Australia and New Zealand. And obviously we're not at that point yet, but we realize that with our Native Hawaiians and the Pacific Islanders, that some of these challenges that we experience as Native to the in North America certainly are shared by our brothers and sisters throughout the continent. And so we certainly thought that this could be an opportunity to help develop some of those programs internationally as we move forward down the road in our future. But it also stood for intertribal, and it stood for a source for information both in the internet and in person, and that we wanted to provide support for incident response and immediate assistance should that tribal leader or that designated official need that assistance. But it stood for innovative, inclusive, and in the human context, your eye provides vision for the future. And that's really what developed how ITEMA came to be the name for the association. So it's certainly unlike many associations out there, but to us, that eye was very unique to who we were and what we identified and what we envisioned our association being. So as we move forward, we created a survey. Now, we realized when we set this whole organization up, we didn't want to do it in a bubble. And we wanted to make sure that we allowed people to participate and allowed for broad spectrum reach to make sure that everyone that was engaged had the opportunity to provide feedback and input onto what they wanted their association to look like. Because this association was created for Indian Country by Indian Country, and that's what made it unique. So having said that, we sent out a response survey to capture some of that information with relating to capacity. Where were tribes at? Where were their capabilities? And were they even interested in developing an association? So we received about approximately 148 responses, and of those, 95 tribal nations were represented, meaning that basically 17% of all 566 federally recognized tribes provided feedback towards the development of this association. Now, obviously, some of these individuals may have been tribal leaders. Some of them may be emergency managers or police chiefs or fire chiefs or even the ground firefighter or the wildland firefighter. But the point is that we received feedback, and of those 91 people that answered the question, 97% supported the creation of an association that was built on this premise. So we then had the validation that, you know what, we're doing the right thing. And that's really what this was all about, was doing the right thing. So as we continued to move through that survey, what we did is we said, where are you at with regard to emergency management? And how have you developed your capabilities or your programs? And what are your needs specifically pertaining to your program? And what we found is training and exercise was at the top of that list. What we also found was that funding and resources, including personnel, continuously is a challenge throughout Indian Country. And from that perspective, we have had engaged in multiple conversations about the importance and the need for direct funding for tribes. So we realized that obviously this survey was reflective of that groundswell of challenges and issues and trials that different emergency managers were experiencing throughout the country. And from that perspective, I think this gave us a good snapshot on where do we need to go and how do we need to develop. And since resources and personnel were a challenge, we also said, why don't we look at creating a way that we can all share some of these resources and share some of these personnel and these subject matter experts during that type of an event. And, of course, buy-in from leadership and the community. And those of you that have been in emergency management have participated, you realize that some people say, well, we don't need an emergency manager all the time. We only need them when the disaster happens or the incident happens. But we all realize that if we don't plan, we realize the impact of that disaster can be significantly much more substantial. And so we have identified, obviously, as multiple reports and different studies have identified, for every $1 spent in preparedness, we save $4 in response and recovery down the road. And that's even conservative based on some numbers I've seen up to 7 or 8. So we realize that the value of this can't be understated. But the importance for us to develop and promote this process and promote these relationships and promote this concept of working together with one strong, united voice was essential to the success of the organization. And again, through that, we see coordination. We see communication. And we see information, the need for information, the need to share information, the best practices. What have you done? Where did you get that information? How did you apply for that grant? What grants are available? How did you negotiate that event? How did you declare that disaster? And, folks, for those of you that are in tribal communities and are emergency managers, I can tell you right now, based on your feedback, these concerns and these challenges resonate with everyone. Obviously, in addition to that, we talked about communications and interoperability and identifying how we restructure funding to support some of those things. But again, if we didn't speak with that united voice and that strong voice to allow those decision makers, whether they be elected officials within our tribal government or elected officials within our state and federal government, the point is that divided, we fail. United, we can achieve amazing success. That's the value. That's the reason that ITEAM was established and started. So, again, here's the purpose. We really want to promote and facilitate that emergency management through that collaborative multidisciplinary approach. We wanted to make sure that we allowed for all different disciplines to participate in the organization, to give each one of those disciplines their specific division within the organizational structure, to allow them to continue to grow within the organizational structure. And having said that, I will get into that a little bit further in one of the slides, but that's really what we wanted to accomplish through that multidisciplinary approach. And to collaborate, to make sure we were having those conversations before the event, not during the event. Obviously, for those of you that have been around, you realize the value of relationships isn't that you're dusting or passing out business cards as the emergency is unfolding, but it's that those business cards were passed out and those relationships were established pre-event. And obviously, we want to make sure that we enhance and improve those efforts to prepare for, to protect against, and to respond to, recover from, and mitigate against all hazards that befall our communities. Whether it's something that we've identified the hazard annex or something that the tribal communities are facing with a pipeline that's running through their tribal community or some of these other things that potentially could impact their tribal community or standard of living. The point is that we also have our traditions and our stories that give us indication that these events have happened in the past. And how we prepare for that and protect against and mitigate against those things are critical to or essential to the success and survival of our tribal communities. So we also wanted to encourage and facilitate participation education. We talked about the value and the importance of training and preparedness activities. We wanted to make sure we promoted cooperation and equality and in support with what FEMA's initiatives was, that concept for developing the whole community approach. Again, why this is important? Like, folks, it's about tribal people. It's about the rights and benefits afforded them through the treaties, the Constitution of the United States, executive action, federal legislation, the United States Supreme Court decisions, as it relates to the trust responsibility of the federal government with regard to Homeland Security, emergency management, and emergency services. Now, I say that because we know there's situations and there's challenges and there's even identified problems. But unless we come to the table with solutions, that's the challenge. That's the challenge that we pose to everyone that participated in this initial discussion as ITEMA was organized. We believe that ITEMA can be the solution for some of those challenges that the federal government has with regard to meeting their trust responsibilities. And that's through a collaborative, multidisciplinary approach that brings together Indian Country, that really focuses on tribes helping tribes. Again, more part of that purpose is to promote and support through all association activities the preservation of who we are as Native people, our traditional forms of government, our cultural values, and our heritage. And we realize that those partnerships are critically essential because all disasters start locally. So we need to make sure that we work together with the tribal and federal and state and local agencies to help develop and promote these services and these programs. So when that event does happen, the local responding agencies don't say, oh, it's tribal land, we don't go there. It's those discussions that happen beforehand that we realize the value that since disasters start locally, we have to develop and work towards achieving success with those local agencies because they will be the first responding to our tribal communities if available. So how do we do that? And I'm not here to say that history doesn't pose these challenges, because I know many tribes have challenges with their state government, with their local government. But the point is that if we don't try and we don't be persistent and tenacious in some of these efforts, then we'll never achieve success. So that's part of where ITEMA was developed as well, to help facilitate some of those conversations and to educate the public about, and ITEMA partners and other stakeholders, about what tribal sovereignty is, what self-governance is, and what basically are important to us as far as being culturally sensitive and aware of who we are as Native people. So here's the organizational vision, and this was part of our structure with the Division of Fire, our Division of EMS, a Division of Emergency Management, Homeland Security and Law Enforcement, Incident Management, and Public Health. You know, our CHRs, our contract health representatives that provide a lot of that assistance in our tribal communities on a daily basis, play a pivotal role in identifying those with high needs or access and functional needs. So we can identify by embracing public health as part of our emergency management process to say they have a place here at the table. And again, when we talk about Division of Fire and EMS, some of the things that I'm very excited to say is that as these divisions continue to grow and develop, those divisional structures will allow for continued extension or further enhancement with committees or subcommittees or subgroups that, for instance, deal with arson or fire prevention codes or things that are related to wildland firefighters. And as the amount of impact that the tribal wildland firefighters have throughout this country, there's no place for them to be a part of an association that's tribal. And that's what we wanted to do by accomplishing and developing these divisions within our organizational structure, was to give them a place to belong, give them a place to have ownership, give them a place to be a part of something, because quite frankly, when we all get together, we're stronger. And that's part of why we created this different divisional structure within the organization itself. So each division will be further broken down, and here it is. The search and rescue, for instance, for Division of Fire, hazmat, wildland firefighting, aircraft rescue firefighting. So we have some tribes that have airports on them, and to develop those aircraft rescue firefighting programs and or policies and procedures are critically essential. The fire chiefs, fire prevention, arson, fire explorers. Division of Emergency Management, we realize the value of CERT in our tribal communities, a place for them to belong, amateur radio, public works. The point is that we can expand and collapse based on the needs of Indian Country, and that's what we wanted to do by accomplishing this divisional structure within ITEMA. And not only that, but it also helped facilitate this concept of incident command and being familiar with the process of incident command, realizing that basically divisions and then following into groups. So, you know, we have these different opportunities to really continue to develop these things and really move forward on some of these efforts, and we're excited about what this means for Indian Country, for all of Indian Country, to be that inclusive and that united voice for these things related to emergency management and emergency services. So, how do you belong? Well, here's what we've done. In the organizational structure and the bylaws, we identified that there would be basically four different levels of membership. One was that voting membership, and we thought it was critically essential that one tribe had one vote, and was that no other tribe could be more important than the other one because they were so large, much larger or so much smaller than each other. So the value of that vote was critically essential to the organization. And what does that vote do? Well, that vote gave you the opportunity to provide the resolution or the direction for the organization in the future. So we created that council membership, and that was consisting of those federally recognized tribes, pueblos, rancherias, nations, villages, and communities that provided a resolution and paid their annual dues. So that was a seat reserved for each federally recognized tribe on that council, the one vote per tribe. Annual membership dues for that position on that council are $2,000 per year per tribe. And obviously dues will be evaluated on an annual basis as a council and adjusted as necessary based on the value-added benefit and the deliverables. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm really excited to tell you within the next month we will be launching that membership. We'll be launching our individual membership and our council membership and our partner membership and our associate membership that I'm going to continue to move forward and explain. But now is Indian Country's time, and we are moving forward on this association, and we are moving forward on this membership because we believe that's the value of belonging, and that's the value that this brings to the organization by helping identify and create that unified voice and that strength. Non-voting membership, here are those partner memberships. And these are those organizations or companies or associations out there, some of those local, tribal, regional, tribal, intertribal organizations that can belong to the organization of the association as well. But that's that annual membership dues of $2,000 per year. And these dues will be evaluated and adjusted as necessary as well by the council and the board. But the point is, those organizations that have a vested interest in seeing the success of Indian Country and seeing success of emergency management and emergency services develop and improve, those organizations have a place that they can belong. Those companies have a place to belong. And those other associations that work diligently to do those regional efforts to promote tribal emergency management and emergency services have a place to belong, and they don't lose their identity in this organization. So that's really what we identified as being important, is that those organizations that have been successful, those associations that have been successful on a regional level, have a place where they don't lose their identity, but they can belong to the greater organization that ITEMA brings to the table. In addition, we talked about this individual membership, and that's you and me, the individuals that want to be a part of this, that may not necessarily be that vote on the council, but want to be and believe in what ITEMA is about. That wildland firefighter or that emergency manager or that CHR that wants to be a part of this organization and wants to participate, and that's that $100 annual due. So, again, we're trying to identify and do things that are manageable to allow participation. And even having further said that, the next step that we did was that associate membership. And that was any tribe or organization or individual who supports the mission of ITEMA but really had a challenge to come up with those funds. So we wanted to create that associate membership. They're not required to pay that annual membership due, but are therefore ineligible for the rights of full membership. But they can upgrade their membership status. If they're unable to pay the membership dues, they can also petition the board for a waiver of membership dues. Because certainly we want to make accommodations to those organizations or individuals or tribes that don't have the financial means to support those memberships. And obviously those would be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Folks, we've done a lot of due diligence on developing a membership process that allows for broad-spectrum participation. We didn't want to alienate or disenfranchise anyone, so we created a place for everybody at the table, and we created the value with that one tribe, one vote process, and that's that council membership. Why ITEMA? Should you belong, or why do you want to participate, or what's the value of this organization? Well, here's the kind of things we're currently working on. We believe that Tribal Disaster Response Fund is going to be critically essential to the future of our organization, meaning that when that tribe picks up that phone and says, we need help, the question that we don't need to ask is, well, who's going to pay for it? That can be worked out after the fact. But quite frankly, what happens now is that when somebody needs help, when a tribal community needs assistance, that they pick that phone up, and there's no way for another tribe or another group or effort to support that response. So we believe as tribes continue to get involved and see the value of ITEMA, that we can help develop through donations and other funds to create a disaster response fund. So those funds can be paid out initially, and quite frankly, as we develop these pre-disaster contracts with the different tribes that are members or participate with the ITEMA effort, that those funds are reimbursable as soon as that contract is activated and a disaster declaration is declared and approved by the president. So there's opportunities for us. Now, certainly, not all disasters are going to be declared. We realize that. And obviously, it's based on the intent and scope of the event itself. But the point is, unless we create something and a process, we just need to be able to support the tribes in the early stages of these events. Because it's not to say that we're taking over and we're coming in and saying we're in charge. It's that we're there to facilitate those people in the decision-making process to answer those questions and provide guidance and subject matter expertise that are critically essential in the early stages of an event. Also, to help facilitate and foster the development of tribal incident management teams. We believe we have the capabilities and the subject matter expertise within the organization and those that have identified and support what we're trying to accomplish to work towards the development of these efforts. Whether it's a smaller type 3 team, or whether it's just one or two, or short team, or a rapid needs assessment team that can come in and help a tribal leader or a tribal community during this process. And that would be basically your tribal incident response officers. We talked about creating even with, just like NAHASA did for tribal housing, here we have the opportunity to create a Tribal Emergency Management Assistance and Self-Determination Act. But the point is, unless we have these conversations, we'll never know what our options are or the opportunities are that are there for us. So, again, these are things that we can work towards collectively, together, as we move forward with this association. Emergency operations plan, hazard mitigation, continuity of operations support as you move forward in developing those plans. And here's another challenging thing, is that as we have trainings throughout Indian Country, we realize there's no centralized tribal training program. There's no master training calendar. So we don't even know what's happening within our own region other than the emails that we receive from FEMA. So our goal is to create that centralized master training calendar that really allows people to see what's going on in their community or in their surrounding areas or regions. Corley Emergency Management, the goal is to have our Emergency Management Emergency Services magazine to showcase the value-added benefit of tribal emergency management emergency services, to showcase those best practices, those tribes that are doing a great job and have achieved success, to learn about lessons learned from events or incidents, to talk about tribal CERT programs, talk about all these things that we have a vested and shared interest in. But I believe that as we move forward on this, those efforts with the Emergency Services Magazine and things like that, the more that we can put it in to the mainstream of our consciousness, so to speak, and bring it to the forefront of tribal leaders saying, hey, I got this magazine in the mail about tribal emergency service and emergency management. That helps facilitate the continued development of our programs because it basically legitimizes this as a specialized field of study and a specialized field with regard to tribal communities and the value and the importance of that for developing these capabilities and capacities within our communities. And obviously there's legislative advocacy. We realize that on these issues pertaining to things such as the amendment to the Stafford Act, we have to speak with that united voice. We have to have those subject matter experts that are able to provide those testimonies to Congress and to the two members of the Senate with regard to some of these issues. The point is that where ITEMA can be a very strong voice on some of these things, it's about the collective good of the organization. It's about developing and looking for opportunities to promote tribal emergency management and emergency services and to look for opportunities to secure direct funding for tribes and to also identify ways that we can fund additional training and deliverables that help support emergency management and emergency services. Those are some of the values of why we believe it's important to belong to ITEMA and to be a part of this national effort. ITEMA is that coordinating body. We're there about project delivery. A tribe needs assistance. We can enter into a contract to provide assistance and develop those capabilities and capacities. Programmatic support. We're having challenges with this. And, folks, as council members and as members of the organization, we want to support you, and we want to continue to just provide those best practices as you move forward to help facilitate training, to education partnerships with tribal community colleges. And I'm extremely excited to talk about the partnership that we just had with the University of Nebraska Omaha as we move forward in formalizing tribal emergency management as a specialized field of study. That centralized communication and coordination and the resource database of who has what and what the points of contact are throughout Indian Country for emergency management. The information sharing, either through the website or the magazine, or resource sharing through things such as Tribal Mutual Aid or TMAC that USAID has worked so diligently on. And then those subject matter experts that provide a lot of that feedback and information. Networking, again, it's about making those relationships and shaking hands and understanding who's around the corner to help there or who's a phone call away to provide that assistance when you need it. And, obviously, an annual conference that brings everybody together. Here's our partnership with the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Just last week, and for many of you, you may have seen the press release that came out of the university, but really what we were able to accomplish is to identify that within emergency management, obviously emergency management is a specialized field of study. However, having said that, what we identified is that when we move forward in this concept of emergency management, that tribes have a very specific and unique set of expectations and a specific need of tribal emergency management as it relates to cultural sensitivity, historic sites and preservation. It has things to do with regard to how you deal with managing sovereignty and not to diminish sovereignty by providing, you know, by different delegations of authority. But if we don't have those conversations and we don't work towards developing that new future of emergency management, then we're just basically embracing or accepting what the current emergency management practices are. But we are specifically unique. Tribes are unique. Tribes are not states. They're not local government. They're unique. They're sovereign nations. So we need to have an emergency management curriculum that deals and specifically addresses those issues of sovereignty, tribal law, trust, treaties, obligations, historic site, historic preservation, all those things that make us unique as governments. That's why we are extremely excited about what this looks like as we move forward in developing the certificate and associate and bachelor's program as it moves forward and continues to develop over the next couple of years. But what even better that this allows is for those tribal community colleges to embrace this program and bring those programs out to their local tribes, to their local communities, so we basically go out and embrace our future, our youth, as we move forward and develop them in tribal teen cert programs and tribal cert programs and then transition into volunteer fire or EMS programs and then becoming their tribal emergency managers. It's that multidisciplinary focus of developing our career path for our future. That's why we're thrilled about this partnership with the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and the MOU that was just recently signed. We move forward on this, and we also say that we want to continue to support student development by bringing them as IT team reporters and support staff. So we give them projects and assignments as part of this curriculum and say, hey, we have a tribe that was impacted by this event. Give them a call and interview them and identify the lessons learned, the success stories, what they did right, what they could have improved on. And let's share that information so we can showcase the success stories. We can share that information that allows for lessons learned to be learned from everyone. Because we all have a role in this process, and there's certainly no need to reinvent the wheel. And especially, I think this provides a great opportunity for them to also allow them to participate in this process, and basically have the ability to get their community service requirements for their degree in support of this, support of our association overall. That's why we're excited about that partnership with UNO. So, how do we sustain? And quite frankly, folks, this has been the biggest question. Sounds like a great idea, Jake. I'm sure you guys have put a lot of due diligence in this. Well, I can tell you we certainly have. And we've had the business plan is just under 90 pages long, and we've done a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of vetting with our bylaws to make sure we are sustainable. We've had a 501c3 or a tax-exempt attorney go through the bylaws with a fine tooth, to make sure that we are capturing all these elements to make sure that this organization is sustainable for the long haul, that it's not just a flash in the pan, but that we look forward to the future, that in 15 years and 20 years and 30 years, ITEMA will still be there making a difference for tribes in Indian Country. But also we realize that there are other opportunities through tribal sponsorship, whether it be a bronze, silver, or gold or platinum level, vendor sponsorship, our annual conference, our membership dues, our federal grants, donations, and advertising. Those are other things that we've identified through our business plan that provide some value-added benefit to help promote and facilitate what we want to do as far as the organization to sustain us into the future. And for those of you that have further questions on the business plan and how that works and the contracts and all those other things, I'm happy to share that with you as well. So what's ITEMA done? Well, you've been at it for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. Well, we did that national survey, which gave us a real good snapshot and gave us that starting point for where we were. We had to identify where we were, and I think even further, having said that, we realized that we need even to do a better job, and we need to actually dedicate resources to calling every single tribe to make personal contact with every tribe to make sure that we understand where they are with their capability and capacity and where they want to be with their capability and capacity, because that's our starting point for that continued development of our deliverables. And we want to update that list for emergency management, emergency services points of contact in any country. And that's not just a one-time deal. That happens, as all of you that work in Indian country realize, that changes fairly frequently. So we want to make sure that we have a pretty much a centralized database to support that. And also, when we talked about Hurricane Isaac and Hurricane Sandy, here's an example of one thing that we can do. Is we provided the TACG, or the Tribal Assistance Coordination Group, with a roster of tribal subject matter experts that were available for deployment upon request. And although they weren't necessarily required, we realized that there's value to that. That tribes want to see other tribal members coming to their assistance when there's a need. And we realize that it's not that we're saying that FEMA's not doing the right thing, but we realize that tribes by nature want to have the support of other tribal communities. And this couldn't have been more proven with Hurricane Sandy. The Shinnecock Nation was definitely impacted by that event. And the Seminole Nation responded. They sent two tribal emergency managers up to the Shinnecock Nation and provided a significant impact on minimizing the traumas and the challenges that Shinnecock experienced. Obviously, they can't take away the actual physical trauma and the physical challenges, but to have that support and have that guidance from very early on into the event was very, very helpful to that tribal community. And again, one of those that ended up providing that response, Jason DeBrons, is on our board, and he realizes and continues to be an advocate for that is the right thing. That is so necessary and needed, and it couldn't have been more substantiated during that event than we saw with Hurricane Sandy. Other things, we continue to support and are very active in coordinating a last-minute response from Indian Country to Representative Benny Thompson and asked him to reconsider his position on H.R. 2903. Again, there was a lot of challenges that really happened when we were trying to get that Stafford Act amended. And certainly, as we moved forward, we realized that there were some things that we really needed to work on collectively. And let me also do back on the Hurricane Sandy. What we also do realize is by providing that list of subject matter experts, we were able to also send an individual. Our Regina Morato actually is on the phone now. She actually was requested to support at the NRCC. And obviously we realized there were some challenges that occurred, but she responded to Washington, D.C., and was there to help facilitate what we identified as a potential opportunity to help with the tribal desk there at the NRCC. But the point is that these are opportunities that we think, as we continue to vet this out, will be further opportunities for us in the future. And I realize that, and I say that because there's value to those partnerships and value to those relationships and value of those subject matter expertise to other tribes that are being impacted. But now, moving forward on the Stafford Act Amendment, we talked about 2283 and preparing and coordinating and facilitating key discussion, moving this legislation out of committee and the floor. The point is that we played an active role in this process. And because of that, I think really we had the opportunity to really make a difference and participate in that process and make that a successful, basically a successful amendment to the Stafford Act. And I'm very excited about what that means for us in Indian Country. Other things, we had our first annual conference last year in March 21st to the 22nd in New Orleans. We had over about 100 individuals that participated, and I'm really excited to say that was a really positive experience for us. It was a great opportunity for us to get out and get our message out to Indian Country. But we're going to do that even further this next year in Southern California, and I'll show you about that here in the next slide. But again, we had our first annual conference last year and was a really positive event and experience, and certainly appreciated those that participated in that. We had our University of Nebraska Omaha and ITM MOU signed last week. We obviously have provided the last two NCAI conferences, or National Congress, the American Indian Annual Conventions. ITM has provided CERT capabilities and medical support for the conference. So the conference in Sacramento and the conference just recently held last week in Tulsa, ITEMA was there. ITEMA was there providing CERT capability and promoting preparedness, promoting response, promoting mitigation activities through the handouts of multiple different periodicals. But also, we were there to support tribal leadership should something have happened. And quite frankly, we were able to provide some medical assistance in this last meeting where we just gave that, we basically providing that assistance that people knew we were there with an AED, with oxygen, and with a paramedic. So we knew how we that the tribal leaders had that support there for that event. That's a value-added benefit of iTEMA. And currently we have our website that's currently under development and under construction. You can see it now. It's got some great information on it already, but nonetheless, we continue to develop and promote that through iTEMA.org. So what's up next? What's coming up? Here it is, March 10th to the 14th, 2014, Southern California. Here is our next annual conference. So, folks, I'm really excited about this. We are going to be doing some pre-conference training as well. Looks like we're probably going to try to do a basic CERT class for those that want to know what CERT is so you can take that back to your tribal communities. Also, it looks like we may be providing a tribal COOP class in partnership with EMI, and that has yet to be solidified, but that's something that we're also engaged in discussions on as well. And then we'll continue to move forward with basically a 2.5-day conference on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that's where we're at with regard to iTEMA now, and we continue to move forward. We continue to get involved. Here's our board. Here's the folks that make it happen. Without their diligence and assistance to promote iTEMA and move this effort forward, we couldn't do it without these individuals. And quite frankly, I'm excited on everything that they've participated and accomplished, and we continue to move forward. And you can see by some of these names here, these are some subject matter experts across the country that deal with tribal emergency management and emergency services. Whether it's through CERT or whether it's through fire or whether it's through EMS, the fact is these are great participants and great active leaders in Indian Country with regard to emergency management. And people say, well, who's involved so far? Well, here's a list of some of our partners already that have really signed on through resolution about supporting iTEMA, the Intertribal Long-Term Recovery Foundation out of San Diego, and all the work that came out of those San Diego fires. And quite frankly, Teresa Greger has done an amazing job down there with her support network with Adam Geisler and some of the other folks through her board that have made a significant difference in preparing and promoting emergency management, emergency services in those tribal communities. The Intertribal Council of Nevada through their ITERC, or Intertribal Emergency Response Commission, with ITCN, and Amarin was initially a big player in this through their efforts that they had started with TMAC and some of the efforts that they wanted to do, obviously, to develop and promote risk management. Wisconsin Tribal Emergency Management Alliance, and obviously you can see some of these tribes that have signed on by resolution here as well, Agua Caliente and Blue Lake and Trinidad and Cocopah, Hopi, Paula, Acoma, the Pueblo of Laguna, Ponca Tribe of Nebraska, and the Rincon, and Seminole Tribe of Florida, and the Snoqualmie Indian Tribe. And those lists continue to expand. And as we move forward on this tribal membership or the council membership, we will, again, address these iTEMA partners and ask if they want to continue their participation and involvement and have a position or seat on that council. Here's a lot of the people that have been involved in what we're trying to accomplish. And I just say this put this slide up here because it's a matter of working together. And the more we have on here and the more participants and the more active engagement that we have on here, the more successful we are as an organization. And we couldn't do it without these folks that are on here that have been a part of that. So, you know, I'm really honored. And again, here you see more of those names. It's been an overwhelming amount of support to move iTEMA forward and to help promote what we're trying to accomplish, and it's certainly been a privilege and an honor to work with these individuals and hopefully develop an organization that really is based on that premise of providing support for tribes by tribes, and an organization that was created on the premise of for Indian Country by Indian Country. And what it boils down to, folks, is it's about our sovereignty. It's about our preservation of our cultures, our traditions, our language, who we are as tribal people, and that tribal identity. iTEMA is about being there for tribes when they have a need. And how we facilitate, how we manage, how we support that, that's something that we are working out diligently as we have all these participants and active subject matter experts in developing this capability and capacity. But, folks, it's about taking care of each other. It's about speaking with that unified voice, that one strong voice, about promoting tribal emergency management and emergency services. If you have any additional information, here's my information, my contact, Ken Teller, who is the Vice President, Interim COO, and Regina, her information as well. We are in the process of solidifying our 1-800 number for basically that one-stop shop. So if you need help, you can give us a call there. We'll try to help facilitate and accommodate that request. And I would say within the next couple of weeks, we'll be rolling that number out as well. And, folks, it's been a privilege and an honor to speak to you today. And if you have any further information or questions, please go ahead and provide those on the questions and answer section of this, and I'll go ahead and turn it up over to Amy. Amy, thank you so much again for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you very much, Jake. It sounds like our timing for this program was excellent and that it's a very exciting time for you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, folks, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, please select host from the drop-down menu in the Q&A panel. And then type underneath, and one moment, because I am going to close the chat panel so we don't get confused about where it goes. And then you just type it in and hit enter or select send. Please do make a point to select host. I will monitor those and read the questions or comments aloud, and then our guests will respond via the bridge. Please keep your question or comment related to today's topic and reasonably concise. And we are ready to begin, so you may enter your comments or questions at any time. Before we get to those, we'll give folks a moment or two. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Jake, was, you know, how the tribal nations relate to the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, EMAC, but then I believe you mentioned TMAC. Is that the same idea?
It's exactly the same idea. And obviously, you know, that NEMA's done a lot of work on EMAC, and I think really where we have seen is that the tribes really, you know, NEMA has, you know, places for the territories, and I think there will be at some point a really discussion that I'd like to enter in with NEMA about how we engage tribes within that discussion. But having said that, currently tribes aren't a part of that discussion. And although the relationship, you know, is certainly not strained by any means, it's a matter of developing those efforts. And so the United South and Eastern Tribes, through the efforts of Harold French and Willis Listine and some of the Emergency Services Committee that USET has taken a very active role in developing a concept of TMAC. And TMAC has even further been developed by some folks out here in Southern California through the efforts of an individual like David Monroe, over at Morongo. So there are those that are participating and certainly developing this concept. But I think where ITEMA is taking the efforts of those regional efforts like the United South and Eastern Tribes and bringing those efforts forward so we can start speaking globally and we can start speaking throughout Indian country and working towards development of those assistance of those compacts to help facilitate those responses.
Very good. Okay, we'll proceed to some of our audience questions and comments. I have one from Isabel McCurdy, who asks, is membership status only, or can one be non-status? And I believe what she means by that is membership open only to the federally recognized tribes or some of the other entities out there.
Well, so here's the answer to that. If, for instance, an individual wanted to be a member, there's the individual membership. And obviously, they don't need to be federally recognized. It's just somebody that has a vested interest in what ITEMA is promoting and moving forward to. Now, there is a question as to what a federally recognized versus a non-federally recognized or state-recognized tribe can do or participate in. And what I want to say to that question is that the associate membership was also designed to support those state-recognized tribes, so there was a place for them and a place that they could participate in the process of ITEMA. But as far as the council membership, that we have made an executive decision based on the collective response from all the participants that played a role in the bylaws creation was that that council membership had to deal specifically with those that were federally recognized. But again, we realized that we didn't want to leave anybody out, so we made specific references to non-federally recognized tribes in that associate membership.
Okay, very good. A question from Lise Kay, who asks, how does ITEMA relate to the National Tribal Emergency Management Council?
So the National Tribal Emergency Management Council is a group that was, I think, pretty much, I would say, took a lot of their formation out of the best practices that came out of the Northwest Tribal Emergency Management Council. And we've engaged in multiple conversations with them. We've participated in some fairly elaborate and in-depth discussions. I think that what we've identified is that ITEMA, very much from an organizational perspective, was in addition to some of these other things pertaining to training and preparedness and advocacy and legislative advocacy, those things were certainly very important to us. But what I think differentiated us from that organization itself was our desire to move forward in the response capability and develop some of those capabilities specifically to facilitate and support tribes that were experiencing a large-scale event. Again, I really can't speak on behalf of that organization or that association. They have got some, we've got some great individuals over there that have been very, very well connected and very well experienced within Indian Country and have a lot of subject matter expertise within that organization. And quite frankly, from that perspective, there's value to that organization. But ITEMA is a different organization. ITEMA has different strategic priorities. And because of that, we continue to move forward in our efforts and our vision for what we believe is important and continue to move forward to promote that collective, collaborative effort that is all hazards, all risks, and a multidisciplinary approach to support tribes.
Very good. We have several questions waiting for you. We'll try to get them all in. We are kind of getting a little bit short on time. From Tim Schwab, what role, if any, will NGOs have in ITEMA in preparation, response, and recovery?
That's a great question. So as we continue to move forward, for instance, let's talk about the Red Cross. ITEMA realizes that NGOs play a significant role in supporting what ITEMA is doing, how ITEMA continues to move forward. And with regard to the non-governmental organizations, we created that partner membership specifically for that reason. It didn't necessarily need to be a business. It could be a non-governmental organization, but there was a place for them in the association because we had to develop those partnerships, and those partnerships were essential to the success of the organization itself. So the Red Cross ITEMA is working on developing this MOU to support the mass care and sheltering for tribes that are being impacted by an event because we also realize that there's value to having those MOUs in place with NGOs. So if there's an NGO that's on the line or a representative from an NGO that's on the line that wants to participate or wants to have a further discussion on that, please call me. We're excited about this. We're excited about those partnerships. I'm excited about working with the National Red Cross, American Red Cross, on these efforts and this MOU that we're continuing to move forward with. And that's just one example of the value of NGOs. So please, NGOs, if you're out there, please call us. We're excited about working with you. Because we realize that sometimes it's very difficult for you to understand those dynamics as it relates to Indian Country, and ITEMA is here to help facilitate you and assist you through that process.
Good deal. Question from Bruce Binder, and I think you mentioned you had a 501c3 lawyer attorney. He is asking if you've achieved your 501c3 status, basically.
So the 501c3 status, we're incorporated in the state of Nevada as a nonprofit, but the federal 501c3 status is pending. That's all, the application's completed. Everything's done. We've been told that the wait is approximately a year or so. So I don't know how long that will be, but obviously any organization that participates in ITEMA, as soon as that federal 501c3 status is confirmed, then that way, if donations or anybody has contributed towards ITEMA, that will be obviously retroactive back to the date of incorporation, which was in March of 2013.
Okay. Jane Cooley asks, what dialogue has ITEMA had with IAM, International Association of Emergency Managers, especially in promoting tribal members to sit for AEM or CEM exams?
You know, well, I will actually be at IAM in Reno next week. I sit on the tribal caucus for IAM as a member. And because of that, I think what we are identifying is we need to figure out how to get that information out there. And I think that's one of the reasons, and very early on, I had talked to the chair of the tribal caucus for IAM about the value of going out and developing a partnership with IAM. So, again, ITEMA is about developing and collaborating. So, we're working forward in a collaborative effort. And so the more that we can work towards that end of developing and facilitating that that relationship, the stronger it is. And that's actually why I signed up to be on the Tribal Caucus as the president and CEO of ITIMA, to support those that dialogue and that continued discussion. So if those individuals that are on the phone want to talk about that further, I will be in Reno. I will be at the Tribal Affairs Caucus meeting, and I'm happy to talk to you and happy to have those conversations on how we can promote and have dialogue on further discussion on the CEM process.
And I think I just now see it from Regina, who is on the phone with us, wanted to chime in a few words. I'm not sure if I missed the topic you wanted to chime in on, Gina, but please do.
Thank you, Amy. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to say a few words about the NGO participation and any other private organizations. To add on to what Jake mentioned, the whole idea of ITIMA is collaboration. So we do not intend or do we wish to replace or take over any sort of established programs or tribal departments. There are a lot of emergency management initiatives out there in Indian Country, whether it's through intertribal councils, tribal emergency management programs, tribal liaisons to state, local, or federal agencies. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of good work. The point of our vision is to work collaboratively to improve those efforts and to put the right people in touch with the right organizations, share that information. And it's the same thing with the tribal emergency management curricula that's currently being developed. Nobody wants to reinvent the wheel. There are things out there that work currently that already exist, and we just want to build on and improve what's already out there. So whether you're an NGO or a private organization, whether it's through pre-established mutual aid agreements or you know, just maybe some people need information to be put in touch with the right people, that's our intention.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got time for just one or two more. Again, if we don't get to your question or comment today, you've got the contact information up here. It'll also be available in the copy of the slides that will be posted later today, and we encourage you to get in touch with these folks directly. Jane Tehan asks, does ITIMA work with the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, emergency management component?
Absolutely. We have a very, very strong relationship with the BIA emergency management team. Many of those individuals are actually personal friends, and I think that's actually part of that relationship, that building that partnership. Sid Caesar, who's the chief of emergency management, I've known Sid for years, and I know Sid is one of the more passionate individuals about tribal emergency management and emergency services. He's had a lot of experience with tribes from his time over at Indian Health Services. So we have a lot of great participation, a lot of great engagement with BIA emergency management, and continue to look forward on developing those efforts and those relationships as we develop ITIMA as an organization to work in partnership with BIA emergency management.
Good. Okay. I have to take a question from my partner here, Ava Dean. She says, thanks for your presentation, Jake. I look forward to meeting you next week at IAM in Reno. How involved is ITIMA with the IAM Tribal Caucus that meets next week? And you just mentioned that, I believe.
Yes. I've had a lot of conversation with Chuck, who's their chair of their Tribal Caucus, Chuck Kement. And I think really what we have identified is that IAM shares a lot of through the Tribal Affairs Caucus, shares a lot of the same vision and the same passion for tribes. And so I think the more that we can engage in that conversation and dialogue collectively, the more that we can work together in a unified effort, I think the stronger the organizations, both organizations, will be as their outreach to Indian Country continues to grow and develop.
Well, folks, it is time to wrap up for today. And on behalf of Ava Jean and myself and all our participants, thank you very much to both of you for being with us today and sharing this information with us, and we wish you great success as you move forward, and have pretty much a lot of confidence that you will have great success.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you very much, everyone, for calling in. We appreciate your feedback. Please don't hesitate to give us a call, and for those of you that will be at IAM in Reno, we'll see you there, and hopefully we'll see all of you at our conference in March. Take care and be safe.
Thank you. And folks, before you run off, please do take a moment to provide some comments or feedback. And I do want to especially thank everyone for participating today and the great questions that we were able to get to. And sorry, we got most of them, Jake. So So please, if you're not on our mailing list, you can go to our homepage and subscribe and get announcements of our future programs. So thanks once again to everyone, and we are adjourned. Bye now.